God's Word Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
Our scripture for this morning is found in the 16th chapter of the book of Mark. We read in verse 15, chapter 16, "And he said unto them," now these are the Lord's parting instructions to his disciples before he ascended back to heaven. After his resurrection, he was on the earth 40 days before his ascension. And these were his last words to his disciples before his ascension. We read in verse 19 of this chapter, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God." So hear what he says to his disciples. He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." And I don't know of any more terrifying words in all the scripture than that. He who says this is not some red-faced fundamentalist hellfire and brimstone preacher screaming at people. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "He that believeth not shall be damned." Now he says to these men, these sinful men, in the previous verse, he said, after he'd appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now these men were like all men who have faith, they also had unbelief. You remember the cry of the man, "I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Well, these men were like that. And the Lord upbraided them for this unbelief. It was not right. But he still says to them, these people who he had just upbraided, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, this was before radio. This was before TV. This was before the internet. This is before there were trains, planes, and automobiles. He says to this small group of men, "Encompass the globe and preach the gospel to every creature." What an awesome task. These men were called upon to go all over this globe to make sure everybody heard the gospel. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, the preaching of the gospel is the ordained means of God for the ingathering of his elect. Somebody says, couldn't God save someone without them hearing the gospel? Well, the question is, does he save anyone without hearing the gospel? And the answer to that question is no. You will not believe anything you've never heard. You have to hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now he tells these men, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, if the Lord has saved me, if the Lord has saved you, we are like Paul, debtors to all men, to preach the gospel to them that has saved us. And to not do so would be evil. If you knew the way cancer could be healed and you withheld that information, it'd be evil, wouldn't it? Now, everyone who God has saved is called upon to preach the gospel. Now, the first thing that I would notice about this statement is, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Definite article. The gospel. There is only one gospel. The gospel of God. And God uses the entire Bible to declare his gospel from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21. And every verse of scripture is used to teach us of the gospel. And we could go to thousands, literally thousands of different places to define the gospel. But what I would like to do, since we're in the book of Mark, is confine ourselves to Mark's use of the term gospel. He's the one inspired by God who penned these words given by the Lord Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he uses this word gospel 8 times in this gospel narrative. And I want to look briefly at each one of them. When he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I love the first mention of the word gospel in Mark is the first verse of the first chapter. It reads like this, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That word beginning is the origin. The origin, where the gospel comes from. Now, understand this, the gospel is as old as God. In other words, the gospel is eternal. That is what John called it, Revelation 14:6, the everlasting gospel. The eternal gospel. It's the gospel that's old as God. It's eternal. That's its origin, God himself. Now, a gospel that is not eternal is not the gospel of God. Remember this, God created the universe for his Son to do what he did on the cross. This is an eternal gospel, and Christ is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The beginning of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, the gospel is who he is. That's what determines the message. The gospel is who he is. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, what that means is, he is the uncreated second person of the Blessed Trinity. God the Son, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. He said, you believe God, believe also in me. Whatever you believe concerning God, that's me. He's sovereign. He's all-powerful. He's all-wise. He's immutable. He's independent. This is Jesus Christ. Every attribute of the Godhead dwells in his body. Therefore, he's incapable of failure. When you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, you're talking about one who cannot fail in his intentions. Whatever he intends to do, he does because of who he is. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus means Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He's Jesus Christ. Christ represents his offices. He's God's prophet. He's the Word of God. He brings God's Word to men. He's God's priest. A priest is one who represents men to God. If he represents you to God, you'll be saved. He's incapable of failure. He's God's king. He's God's prophet, priest, and king. He has the power to do whatsoever he is pleased to do. Now, the gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I love the beginning, the origin of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, we read, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now this is a kingdom that knows no boundaries. Let me read you a passage of scripture from Daniel chapter 4, beginning in verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. It knows no boundaries. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? This kingdom has no boundaries. Why? Because the King of Kings is the King of this kingdom. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14 says regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. They're called by his invincible, irresistible grace. They're chosen by him. He said, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And this choice was made before time began. And every one of those people who are called and chosen are faithful. They believe the gospel, and they can be believed, every single one of them. And then we read in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, the very next verse, the Lord is speaking, and he says, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent of anything that is not the gospel. The word repent means to change your mind. Now you can write this down. This is true of me and this is true of you. Everything we think naturally of God is wrong. Repent. Repent of your wrong thoughts of God. He said in Psalm 50, thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. And here's what our problem is. We think God's like we are. He's not. He's altogether other. He's holy. He's separate. He is transcendent. He's God. He's in absolute control of everything. He's gracious. He's independent. He's immutable. Change your mind concerning the false concepts and ideas you have of God. Change your mind about the false concepts you have of yourself. Every natural man thinks he has some way of contributing to his salvation, but the fact of the matter is you don't, and I don't. We're dead in trespasses and sins. We really are evil. That's right. You are an evil person. I am an evil person. That's God's testimony. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You repent of those high thought you have of yourself, when you take your place before God as a sinner. And oh, what repentance, what change of mind is needed with regard to the forgiveness of sins. Somebody says, what do you mean by that? Well, let me tell you exactly what I mean by that. Everybody naturally thinks that the forgiveness of sins is the end of salvation. If I do this, if I stop doing that, if I become like this and I stop being that way, if I change, if I do fill in the blank, at the end, I'll receive the forgiveness of sins. That's the message of salvation by works. That's all it is. The gospel does not end with the forgiveness of sins. The gospel begins with the full, complete, free forgiveness of sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent ye, change your mind, and believe the gospel. And then we read these words in Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 34. And when he called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, there's the word, shall find it. Now, if you seek to save your life by anything you do, you'll lose it. Those are the Lord's words. You will not be saved. If I do not deny self, say, deny all of self in salvation, take up my cross, the confession of what the cross means, who God is, how he saves sinners, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to him only. I won't be saved. That's what the Lord says. If I lose my life, I lose all hopes of self-salvation, I'll be saved. If I deny myself, all connection with self, take up my cross, the confession of Christ, and follow him, I will be saved. And then we read in Mark chapter 10, verse 29. Verily I say unto you, there's no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospels that he shall receive. There it is, the gospels. He shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come, eternal life. Now, this is a gospel where you are willing, by the grace of God, to lose all these things he said, and it's not a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice. As a matter of fact, you're the gainer for it. It is plus for you, not minus. And then the next passage where the gospel is used is in Mark chapter 13, verse 10. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. The gospel must first be published. Now, this is a message that's not to be shared. It's to be published. It's to be proclaimed. It's not trying to manipulate people. That's what most preaching is, trying to manipulate people in order to get them to do what you think they ought to do. That's not preaching the gospel. It's publishing. It's declaring the actual content of the gospel and trusting God to take care of the results. Now listen to me. I'm so sure that what I'm preaching is the gospel that I'm willing to preach it, declare it, and leave you alone with God. I'm not going to try to manipulate you. I'm not trying to sell anything to you. I know the only way you will believe is for God to do a work of grace in your heart. And then the gospel is mentioned like this with regard to that woman who gave that alabaster box of ointment. And the Lord said, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of as a memorial of her. Now what did she do? She broke that costly alabaster box of ointment and poured it upon the Lord. And she was criticized. Why was this waste made? This could have been sold for much and given to the poor. And the Lord said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Do you know only the gospel will do that? The law will never cause somebody to do something solely for him. There's always some other motive. I'm doing this to earn a higher reward or to keep from suffering this loss or make things better for myself. Law never causes anyone to do anything out of love, but the gospel does. And the Lord finally says in this 16th chapter to his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth, the gospel is a message to be believed. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now let me tell you something you can't do at the same time. You can't work and believe. You're doing one or the other. If you're working, you're not believing. If you're believing, you're not seeking to attain salvation by your works. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What hinders me from being baptized? If you believe in with all your heart, you may. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is a message to be believed. You actually rely upon Jesus Christ the Lord as all God requires of you. You're not looking for anything else. You look to Christ alone as all God requires of you. He that believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. Now this is very important. He that believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. Now listen carefully. The act of baptism does not save. You're not born again by going under the waters of baptism. The act of baptism never saved anyone. The thief on the cross wasn't baptized. You say, has anybody been saved who hadn't been baptized? Well, the thief on the cross was never baptized. And he was saved. The Lord said unto him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. But that does not take away from the importance of baptism. Here's a reason to be baptized. He commands you to if you believe the gospel. Is anything else needed? He commands you to. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved tells us what the requirement for baptism is. You believe. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You know there are so many people who practice what's called infant baptism. They baptize babies. A baby cannot believe. That is not baptism. And it could be that you went through some kind of ceremony called baptism when you didn't know the gospel, never even heard the gospel. That's not baptism either. You may have gone through that ceremony 20 times and it's still not baptism. It's only baptism if you believe the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. But look at these next words, and I don't know of any more terrifying words in all the Word of God than these. He that believeth not. Now all the world is divided into two classes. He that believes, and he that believes not. And the Lord said, he that believeth not shall be damned. That means he shall spend eternity in hell. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, unbelief is the greatest sin. Now, if I told you I'm guilty of a terrible sin, the first thing you would think of would not be unbelief. You'd be thinking of something evil that I've done. Well, I am guilty of the greatest of evils, unbelief. You see, unbelief calls God a liar. Unbelief fails to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when the Lord said when he has come, he will convince the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. When you're convicted of unbelief, that's when you find out, I'm an unbeliever. I'm an unbeliever. I'm someone who's failed to trust Christ. And to not trust Christ is to say that what he did was unnecessary. I can make it to heaven on my own. He didn't have to come and suffer and bleed and die. It was unnecessary. Unbelief sees no glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unbelief thinks, I can come into God's presence in my works. And it's spitting in God's face. It's saying what you did in sending your son really was not necessary. I can make it on my own. It's wicked pride and self-righteousness to practice this thing of unbelief. Now I realize, I love what the man in Mark chapter 9 said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Now an unbeliever has nothing but unbelief. A believer has belief. He does believe the gospel, but he always has his old nature seeking to make him look somewhere other than Christ. And I love that cry, Lord, I believe, I do, I believe the gospel. I believe that all God requires of me, he looks to his son for, and I'm resting in him. Help thou mine unbelief, that part of me that continually wants to look to myself and look to my works as evidence as to whether or not I'm saved, rather than looking to Christ alone. Now these are the words of the Lord. Go preach the gospel, the gospel. The gospel of God to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. May God give us grace to believe the gospel.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.